If you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter. It's towards the back of the New Testament. I've got a barrier now. If you don't have your Bibles, that's all right. We'll have it on the screen for you. But if this is your first time here, if you missed last week, we started a new series called The Art of Being Unordinary. And it's a simple series. The whole idea about this series is breaking the mold, because ordinary just simply isn't working, right? And so what this series does and what it's looking at is the fact that as followers of Jesus, we are called to live an unordinary life. Originally, when we were planning this series, we called it a questionable life. And it was a simple premise: live in such a way that people ask you questions. That's what it was. Hey, why does your life look like this? Why does your life look like this? You know, you used to be this way, but now you're this way. What is that about? And so that's what this series focuses on. And last week, Pastor Justin introduced the series, and he started off, we looked last week at the teachings of Jesus, where Jesus shows us at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, Jesus gives this analogy of two roads, right? And he says the first road is broad. Most people are on it. This is the normal road. This is the ordinary road. A lot of people take it. It's broad, it's smooth, it's easy. But here's the kicker: it leads to destruction. You know, it's kind of the fine print, right? He's like, hey, you can take the easy road, but fine print, this doesn't go anywhere. And then he says, but there's another road. It's narrow. Only a few people find it. But this road leads to life. You know, and so this whole premise is about rejecting what's normal and what's easy, or maybe what we want to do, what would please us to do, and deciding that we're going to make our lives about following Jesus. And though it's going to have its difficulties, even though it's going to have its challenges, we know that, and we're recognizing that we're being called to an unordinary life. Taking the narrow road is about saying, I want to live an unordinary life. I want to live in an extraordinary way, because ordinary just simply isn't working for us. You know, if you're taking notes, the key thought for this series, so you're going to hear it a few times. Justin introduced it last week. I'll say it again this week. It's if you want what normal people have, do what normal people do. If you want what few people have, do what few people do. It's a simple premise, right? I mean, this even applies to business principles. If you read books about businesses that have found success, like books like Good to Great by Jim Collins, which is a fantastic book. There's also a great book called The Slight Edge about how businesses move from crisis to survival to success and everything in between. It models this concept. Listen, you want to look like every other business, you want to do what everybody else is doing, do what they do. If you want to have what they have, do what they do. But if you want something spectacular, if you want something only a few people have grasped, you've got to do what few people are doing. It's kind of the key idea behind this whole series. And the definition of ordinary, so that you know what we're working with, ordinary is of no special quality or interest. It's commonplace, unexceptional. I love that word. Plain or undistinguished, customary, usual, normal. Normal, unexceptional. So let's talk about ordinary. Let's talk about what's normal in our world. When it comes to finances, normal is broke, right? Normal is broke. Normal is living paycheck to paycheck. About 80% of people, according to Career Builder, about 80% of people are living paycheck to paycheck right now. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. Like, there are professional athletes who make millions of dollars a year who still live paycheck to paycheck. Normal is broke. Normal is debt. And always struggling. Obviously, normal isn't working. I mean, how many of you would say, yeah, I want something better than normal in terms of my finances, right? Yeah. Right? I'm not the only one. No. When it comes to relationships, normal is divorce, right? Normal is divorce. And it's not even saying that everybody gets divorced, because the statistic that 50% of marriages end in divorce actually isn't accurate. It's not accurate. But divorce is still normal. Many of us in here are either children of divorce, or we've walked through divorces ourselves, or our siblings have gone through a divorce, or somebody in our immediate family has encountered the brokenness of divorce. Because divorce is normal for us. It's just a commonplace thing that happens. It's normal to be filled with guilt, with regret, with all sorts of fears and anxiety. When it comes to relationships, how many of you would want something better than normal? Right? I mean, when it comes to life, normal is just trying to make it until next month. If I can just get here, things will be better. If I can just get to next month, after I've paid off this bill, then I'm free and clear this month to start saving. But you know very well that next month has its own problems that are going to suck those finances, right? I mean, it's so funny, as humans, we're always looking for the next thing. You know, like when you're a kid, you're like, oh, I can't wait to be a teenager and learn how to drive. And then when you're a teenager, you're like, oh, I can't wait till I'm in college and I'm not living with my parents anymore and I'm going to be my own person, I'm going to do my own thing. And then you get to college and you're like, here I am, I'm independent, can't wait to get out of college, you know, have a family, do all this stuff. And then you get out into the adult world and you're like, can I go back and live with my parents now? I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I mean, even a lot of us, this is how we live. We're just hoping for a slightly better house. We just want that vacation. If we can just get there, if I can just make it till I'm 65, if I can just make it till I'm 70, I can retire. If I can just make it there, I can retire. Then things will level out for me. But how many of us know that that's not true? That's not life, right? That's not how things work. And, you know, for many of us, normal is merely surviving until tomorrow. And to be honest, normal isn't working. You know, looking at this stuff, looking at the definition of ordinary and what normal is, you know, looking at where normal things are in our culture, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want my life to be commonplace and unexceptional. I don't want my life to amount to just retirement, my 401k, and how much I have in there. I don't want my life to be measured by finances. I want my life to be measured by the people around me, that they have been made better because they knew me. That's the unordinary life that Jesus is calling us to. And that's what this whole series is about. And how many of you this morning would say, I believe God has something better for me than normal this morning? And I'm ready to hear it. If you Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. You know, normal is where the crowd is going. Normal is going with the flow. And to be honest, we live in a time that if we were to just lift our feet and go with the current of our culture, we'd end up in some place we didn't really want to be in the first place, right? I mean, some of you you've walked that. You've just kind of been like, hey, going with the flow, man. I just go with the flow. And then you find yourself in the situation and you're like, I got to get out of the flow. I don't know. I didn't want to be here. This isn't what I wanted to do. This isn't where I thought my life would end up. This isn't exactly what my dreams were, but I went with the flow. I just did what normal people are doing. And now I'm experiencing the same things normal people are experiencing. Ordinary and normal isn't working. And ordinary isn't better. In 1 Peter, I love the book of 1 Peter. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. Primarily because of who he's writing to and what he calls them to do. See, when Peter, the Apostle Peter, writes this letter that we call 1 Peter, he's writing it to the early church, the early Christians, first century Christians. And what this letter is it's an encouragement, and it's a challenge to them as they walk this new faith and they experience persecution. You know, and what's going on in the book of 1 Peter is the Christians are, Caesar Nero is in charge. And if you're not familiar with who Nero is, a brief history lesson for you. He was a little crazy, just a little crazy. And he absolutely hated Christians, absolutely hated them. He, not only would Christians be arrested under false pretenses, they would oftentimes be tortured and executed, but sometimes he wouldn't even make it that easy on them. Sometimes he is known for soaking them in oil and lighting them on fire so that he could have flames at his garden parties. Okay, so that's the context 1 Peter is written. Okay, we still see some of that same persecution today. We still see some of it today. And if it's not against Christians, there are other people groups who are being persecuted like that. That's a problem. But I love the book of 1 Peter because that's who he's writing to. That's the thing that these Christians are having to deal with on a day-to-day basis. That's their reality. And it's in the book of 1 Peter that he first writes, "Live such good lives that those who accuse you of doing wrong see your life and turn and glorify God." That's the context in which he writes that promise. Live such good lives. Yeah, your life is on the line. Live such a good life. That the only thing that happens is people are pointed to God. And then in chapter 1, he says this. He says, but in chapter 1, verse 15, he says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." Now, for a long time, this word holy intimidated me. You know, I grew up in the church. I heard the word holy a lot. And every time I heard holy, it made me think of things that were unapproachable because they were so sacred. You are on holy ground. This is a holy church. This is a holy relic. This is holy and that is holy. This is holy music. This is not holy music. You know, this is holy living. This is not holy living. You serve a holy God. And what happened is it created a barrier in my own mind that if that's what holiness was and God was holy, God was unapproachable. If that was the definition of holiness, God was unapproachable. Because I am not holy, according to those definitions. I am not perfect. I'm not a massively religious person. And so it created this barrier between me and God because I misunderstood something because people were projecting their own definitions of holiness into their theology and defining God by that. So let's define holiness this morning. Holy is the Greek word hagios. And besides holy, this word means to be pure, okay? It means to be set apart from. It literally means to be different. And so Peter is quoting the Lord, and when God says, "Be holy because I am holy," he says, "Listen, live differently because I'm different. Be set apart because I'm set apart. Don't be like everyone else because I'm not like everyone else. There are lots of gods out there, but there are none like me. I am the only one worth following. I am holy. I am different than all the rest, and I am pure." He's saying, in this very impure world, be pure because I'm pure and you're following me. You know, he's saying, in this unjust world, be just, because I am just. In this unloving, unforgiving, broken world, be loving, be forgiving. God says to be set apart. You're not normal. You're going to be different. Don't be like the rest of the world. Be unordinary. And here's the key. Those of you who are serious about following Jesus, if you genuinely want to follow Jesus, well, you're not just a Christian in name, because there are a lot of people who claim to be Christians who are not followers of Jesus. But if you're serious about following Jesus, or maybe you're not certain about following Jesus because the other Christians you've known have kind of given it a bad name, don't worry about the term Christian. Focus on the idea of following Jesus first. And if you're interested in following Jesus, but you're not sure, it's all right. It's a journey anyway. But if you're serious about following him and you truly want to give honor to God in the way that you live, when you follow his teachings, Jesus will lead you off the broad path, off the road that leads to destruction, and onto the narrow one that leads to life. He leads you there because he is that narrow road. He is that gate. He is the narrow road. And your goal is not to be different for being different's sake. Your goal is to please God. It's not just to be different. Well, I'm a Christian, so I don't do that. That doesn't help anybody. That doesn't help anybody. That doesn't help yourself. That doesn't help people who are wondering about who Jesus is. And that attitude certainly doesn't please God. And so it's not just being different for different sake. Your goal is to please God. And when you're striving to please God, he will set you apart. You'll be different. And the moment you leave that path, there are going to be situations, there's going to be things, there's going to be people, some of those even closest to you, who will try and pull you back to the norm. They'll try and pull you back, and you'll be hit with pressure inward and outward to conform to that norm. It's just kind of the reality. When you break the mold, people want to keep putting you back in the mold. When you change how you live your life, especially when people don't understand it, they're gonna try and pull you back to it because they have a way of thinking. Now it fits their thinking. You know, if you were living one way and you decide to follow Jesus and now you're living a different way, people are gonna be like, "What are you doing? You used to be cool, man. What's going on? Now you're some religious freak. I mean, you think you're better than us now? Come back over here. Come back with us. Come back." And what we have to do as followers of Jesus, we have to recognize those pressures and we have to say, "Listen, I love you and I want to introduce you to Jesus, but I live my life according to him now." You know, so two types of pressures that we encounter. The first one is an inward pressure. And it's quite simply our need to please. I mean, every human has this, right? We want to make other people happy. We want to make them, we don't want them to think that we're weird. We want them to like us. We want to blend in. We want to be normal. It's a natural human thing to want to be part of a community. And if you're weird, you can't be part of a community. So now we have this inward pressure that we want to be liked. And listen, here's the thing. I struggle with this all the time because here's the reality. Being liked by people is pretty helpful and important when you're a pastor. Right? If y'all don't like me, it doesn't matter what I say up here. Y'all ain't listening. You know, so like, I get it. I want people to like me. There's an element to my job that I kind of need people to like me. But I also have to wrestle with the reality that my calling is first as a follower of Jesus. And I pastor out of that. Whether people like it or not, I follow Jesus first. You know, and so it's natural to want these things. In Proverbs, he writes, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." Fear of man will prove to be a snare. That word snare in the Hebrew is the word mokesh, okay? And what it carries the imagery of a hook or a ring in the nose of an animal. That's the imagery that word carries with it. And so it comes from this idea that if you can hook an animal in the nose like that, you can lead that animal anywhere you want to go, right? Because the old saying goes, control the head, control the body. Control what people think, you control their actions. right? So he says, listen, if you live for fear of man, if you live to please man, you're going to have a hook in your nose and you're going to get pulled this way, you're going to get pulled that way, and you're just going to be subject to people's opinions and their whims, and you're not even living for yourself anymore. You're just living for other people, and there is no freedom in that. There's no freedom in that. If you're taking notes, you can write this in. Becoming obsessed with what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. Becoming obsessed with what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. Now, I want to take a moment, because I want us to have a clear understanding. What does God think about you? If I'm going to reject the idea of caring about what people think about me so I don't forget what God thinks about me, I want you to understand what God thinks about you. Here's what God thinks about you. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, what you've gone through, what you haven't gone through, where you were born, the color of your skin, what gender you are. Jesus loves you unconditionally. That's what God thinks about you. It doesn't matter what your parents thought about you, what they spoke over to you. It doesn't matter what an ex-spouse said over you. It doesn't matter what a sibling said over you. It doesn't matter what an enemy said over you. None of that matters, because God says, I love you unconditionally. I am the author of all life, and I gave my life on your behalf because I thought you were worth it. That's what God thinks of you. And if anybody tells you otherwise, ignore it. It's just a lie. That's what God thinks of you. And if we become obsessed with what people think about us, we quickly forget what God thinks about us, because now that projection of what people think of us gets projected onto God. And if that's what people think about us, that's what God has to think about us. Somebody in your life has made you feel ashamed, guilty, humiliated, less than, not worth something. Somebody in your life has criticized you deeply, hurt you deeply with what they said, what they thought about you. No. It can't hold a candle to the love and the value that God bestows over you. It can't. And listen, I get it. I know how hard it is to get those voices out of your head, to get those words out of your life. And that's why it's so unordinary to not live that way. It's so unordinary not to carry that baggage. Because you're saying, listen, I don't give you that authority to speak that in my life, because my life is centered on Jesus. And I know what he thinks of me. And I will walk in that promise and not be held swayed by your lie. That's unordinary. People don't live like that. We've got to deal with that inward need to please. We've got to realize that in the end, it's not about pleasing people. It's about pleasing God. The second pressure is an outward pressure. And I said this word, it's criticism. Simply criticism. I mean, criticism is a natural part of life. There's constructive criticism. There's destructive criticism. Both of which we all have ample experience with. We've received both. We've given both. And no one likes to be criticized. No one wants their flaws perceived or valid to be thrown out at them. No one of us wants to be reminded of our imperfections and our failures. Nobody likes criticism, if we're all being honest. Somebody might say, oh yeah, give me your feedback. Give me your feedback. Let me know how I can be better. And then it happens. You don't really like that. You don't really want their feedback. It's kind of like, give me your feedback, but don't give me your feedback. I don't want to hear it. But criticism is a natural part of life. Albert Hubbard, who was an American writer, publisher, and artist, he said, I love this quote, to avoid criticism, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. You want to avoid criticism in your life? Well, don't say anything, don't do anything, and don't be anything. I mean, but that's powerful right there. To avoid criticism, be nothing. But we are, you are, not called to be nothing. You're not called to be normal or unexceptional. God did not form you in your mother's womb to be nothing. He set you apart to be different. That's why you are the way that you are. That's why you look the way that you look. Normal would probably be us all looking the same, which would be odd. But none of us do. We're created with intentionality and with purpose to be unordinary. And so in the face of criticism, we just say, that's all right. You don't have that authority. Jesus does. And I'm going to resist that pressure to succumb to that criticism. And I'm not talking about, hey, I saw that you're struggling with this. Here's some helpful tips. I'm not talking about that where you just stop listening to everybody, because that's not helpful either. But it's letting your life be defined by the criticism you receive. It's letting your life be defined by this outward pressure. And the reality is, we're going to be criticized. But thankfully, it's something that even Jesus himself experienced. You know, in the Gospel of John, John quotes Jesus as saying, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first." Right? John 15:18, "If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first." You're in good company. You're in good company. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Because if you belong to the world, if you were normal, it would love you as its own. As it is, you don't belong to the world. You're different. You're an alien. You're a stranger. You're unordinary." And it kind of lends itself to a promise. My favorite verse in Scripture, this is, you know what people call their life verses? This is my life verse. This is what I try and center my whole life around. And I don't have it on the screen because it just kind of came. It's Hebrews 13:6. And this is what Hebrews 13:6 says. "So we say with confidence that the Lord is our helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" I love that translation. Some translations translate it as, "What can man do to me?" But I love the translation that says, "What can mere mortals do?" It gives this like epicness to it, like you are just a mere mortal, right? What can you do to me? You can criticize me. It's fine. Jesus endured the same criticism. I have good company. I'm not going to live my life to please you because the Lord is my helper. And I say that with absolute confidence. There is absolutely nothing you can do to me. I won't be afraid. Well, some people are like, well, they could kill you. Yeah, but then I end up in paradise, so upgrade. You know, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are called to be different, to be unordinary, to be holy. Not in this weird religious or ultra piety sense, but in this simple sense that your life should look different than the rest of the world. Because you've made the decision that your life is going to be about pleasing God. Not about pleasing yourself, not about pleasing your spouse, not about pleasing your parents, not about pleasing other people, but centered on pleasing God. And how do we please God? By simply wanting to be close to Him. It's that simple. Start by reading, prayer, simple prayer. Praying is not hard, it's just having a conversation. But just the desire to want to be close to Him pleases Him. And as a follower of Jesus, you understand that when you live that way, everything else benefits from it. Your marriage and relationships benefit, your family benefits, and so on. because you've changed the parameters and the way you measure your life. It's no longer about what others think, what others say, or what others do. You've centered on the very author of life himself and what he says about you, what he thinks about you. And we've already cleared the air on what he thinks about you. Becoming obsessed with what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. Because the fear of people will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. If you want what normal people have, do what normal people do. If you want what few people have, do what few people do. When you follow Jesus, your life will be different. You will be different. You will be holy. You'll be set apart. And you'll be criticized. But also, you'll be known for an unordinary love for others. You'll be known for an unordinary selflessness, an unordinary joy, an unordinary peace. And against those things, there is no such criticism. You'll have this unordinary life that stands in the midst of the inward pressure, the outward pressure, and it simply points people to Jesus, the unordinary man who brought hope and redemption to a broken world. Now, it's what's funny to me is when the Bible is describing Jesus, he says, and it's talking about his physical appearance, it says I'm an ordinary-looking guy. Like, there's nothing that distinguishable about any of his features. It's not like he had a big nose or he had these really bright blue eyes and this really fair, light skin. No. He looked like every other first-century Palestinian Jew. Dark hair, dark eyes, dark skin. Probably medium build. There's nothing extraordinary about his appearance. Because his appearance didn't matter. He lived an extraordinary and an unordinary life. And what he did on the cross on our behalf changed everything. An unordinary sacrifice that changed life as we know it. It changed the world. And here's the idea I want to leave you with this morning that I want to encourage you and challenge you with. The world isn't changed by ordinary people. Ordinary people don't change anything. That's not what we're called to as believers. That's not what we're called to as followers. We're called to be unordinary because it's the unordinary that breaks chains. It's the unordinary that breaks down barriers. It's the unordinary that changes our lives and the lives around us. That's what this series is about. Walking in the promise that being unordinary changes the world.